Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Amen. So we're going to talk about hunger. Shane, would you do me a favor? Would you give me just a little bit more volume on this microphone? Thank you so much. All right, I want to start with the definition of the word hunger, because we're going to talk about hunger all night tonight. We may even talk about it Sunday morning again. I'm not sure yet. I'm going to pray and see what the Lord wants us to do. But the definition of the word hunger simply means this: to desire something earnestly, to have a strong, passionate, vehement desire. So obviously when I talk about hunger tonight, we are going to talk about hungering for God, right? So to earnestly, passionately, vehemently desire to know God. Now, I started thinking about that, to desire something earnestly. The word earnest or earnestly means in an earnest and serious manner, meaning not lightly, not casually, or not flippantly. It could be used to say they are speaking earnestly, meaning they're speaking with passion. They're speaking with strong desire. They're speaking with charisma. They're speaking with excitement. And so that means to me that in order to be hungry for God, for more of God, you cannot just pursue Him in a casual manner. You can't approach your relationship with God in a flippant way, or serve Him in a flippant way, or in a casual way, or in an apathetic way, and then expect to receive the blessing that He promises us multiple places in the Word of what He will give to people who are hungry for Him. People that are hungry for His Word, hungry for His presence. In fact, I want this to be a place, and I know Madison talked about this a little bit Sunday morning, I want us to hunger for the presence of God. Because you know one thing about God is God will fulfill healthy appetites. When there's a church, when there's a group of people that are saying, in fact, Jesus, He told us this way. He said, I don't think I'm going to be able to sit down tonight. I don't know why. Maybe I drank too much coffee this morning. But Jesus said, if you get two or more people gathered together and they decide we're here in the name of Jesus, He said, I will show up. Why? Because there's a couple people that come together and they're like, you know what? We want Jesus here. We want His presence. We want Him to show up. I refuse to have church and just come up and hear and sing songs and talk to you guys for 30 minutes and pat you on the back and go home, because I've got a lot of other things I could do with my time. If God doesn't show up in our services, it's a complete waste of time. If God doesn't show up, we might as well lock the doors, not just let the lease go and close this whole thing down. Because it's nothing more than a social club if the presence of God doesn't come. It's nothing more than a country club for people that call themselves Christians. A place where you can come in and see a few people. You can do some humanitarian things. We are not a humanitarian group. As great as that is, we are a body of Spirit-filled, Christ-following believers that decided we want the presence of God in this house. We want Him to come. We want Him to show up. And so if you are hungry for God, then your seeking of God is ruled by desire and not by obligation. I've been in multiple seasons in my life where I sought God out of obligation. I'll be honest, there was zero hunger. I sought God because I was a Christian and that was my duty. That was my responsibility. I needed to read my Bible. I needed to pray. I needed to show up to church. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm thankful that I kept doing it. But there have been times in my life that the most beneficial times that I've had with God were not birthed out of me reading the Bible because I had to, but it's because I wanted to. I get more out of it. If I open that word and I'm excited to read the Bible, I'm not just trying to, you know, I do this Bible in a year deal. And if you've never done it, it's a great way to systematically read through the Bible. I would highly encourage, if you've never done it, at least try it. I've done it now. I think this is like my sixth year in a row. I love it. But you know what I've noticed? As powerful as that is, I get way more out of the Bible if I open it up a second time during the day. That's my disciplined Bible reading, that I read it every single morning. But if I open it up in the middle of the day or in the night, or I pull open my phone and I look at the verse of the day, because not because I have to, Because I've already checked the box of that religious mentality that says, I read my Bible today because I'm a good Christian and God put a gold star on a chart in heaven somewhere. But when I go to the Word because I want to be there, I get so much more out of it. Because that is called hunger. And he said, and we're going to get there later, I'm jumping ahead of myself, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? I'll fill them up. You ever read the Bible and you still felt empty? You know why? Because you didn't read it hungry. You read it out of duty, not out of delight. You read it out of obligation, not because you were like, I want to know more about God. And I'll tell you, as I was thinking about hunger, I want this house to be a house of hunger. I want us to show up. I hope you come in here, and I didn't download it, or I did download, but I didn't give it to Shelly to put on there because I thought some people might get offended, and maybe I should have just gotten over it. But there's this video, and it's at like, there's this fence, and there's like a just some meat, like some dead wildebeest or gazelle or something, and this thing's mangled, okay? It looks like what you see on Highway 35 when somebody hits a deer and it lays out there for a while. So are you getting the graphic illustration? You're like, you should have just showed it by now because now you're explaining it to us. But there's this animal that's just carnaged and it's just bloody and it's just laying there, and all of a sudden you see these three lions and they just gang rush this thing and begin to tear it apart. And I wanted to show that because I wanted to say that's what we should be like when God's word is being taught, when his word is being preached. Because those lions, you know what they are? You know why they do that? Because they're hungry. Because they're hungry. And they come after it. And what I want is I want this to be a house of hunger. I want there to, when the word of God is being taught, and I'm not talking about me. I'm not, the last thing I want to do, and hopefully you guys know this that have been here for a while. The last thing I want to do is build a house that honors Spencer. That's not my goal. That's not my plan. That's not my purpose. That's not why I came here. I want to build a house that honors God. And so it doesn't matter if it's Pastor Jeff, if it's Pastor Bonnie, Pastor Lauren, Pastor Madison, Pastor Crystal, any of our leadership, any of our deacons, anybody shares. I want there to be a demand on the anointing of God that he's put on people's life. That if they're going to stand up here and they're going to open the word of God, that you're hungry. You're not hungry for their personality. You're not hungry just for their gifts. You're hungry because you're like, if you're talking about the Bible, I am here and I'm here to eat. I'm here because my soul needs to be filled with the word of God. Because when I don't fill my soul with the word of God, I will always find something else to fill it with. But I want to be like those lions. I'm saying as the pastor, I want to be the guy that if I'm sitting on the front row and somebody else is preaching, I want to be putting a demand on the anointing that God has put on their life. Because the anointing, you know what the anointing does according to Isaiah? It breaks the yoke. And sometimes a yoke is if you look at it in the text there, yoke, it's like the yoke that they would put on oxen that would keep them bound, and it was a burden that they had to bear. There are burdens that you're bearing in your life that only the anointing can break the yoke. But sometimes the anointing, and we could do a whole study on this, but the anointing is always connected to oil, and the only way to get oil out of an olive is if it gets pressed. If it gets pushed. And sometimes I have seen this in services before where the people were so hungry for the word that it began to press and the anointing began to come. So often we want to think the anointing breaks the yoke of it'll break the hardness off of their heart. It'll break this, it'll break that. I believe that it can happen that way, but sometimes the anointing comes through the pressing in of the people of God saying, we're hungry for the word of God. I don't ever want this to be a place where, and again, it doesn't matter who has the microphone, who's talking. I don't want it to feel like they're having to pull teeth. And I talk to y'all 2 times a week, and there's sometimes it feels like pulling teeth. I'm just being honest. I'm not being mean. I'm just being honest. I'm just being real with you. Sometimes it feels like, okay, they're here and they are doing their duty to show up. But I want us to have a place where we're hungry for the word of God. No matter if who it is, here's what I want to have. And this is a terminology that I want us to adopt. I want us to have a lean-in culture. Here's what I mean by that. If I'm ever talking with somebody and they bring up golf, you know what I do? I lean in. Because you've piqued my interest. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you just started playing golf. I don't care if you've been playing golf for 100 years. In fact, I went and got my haircut, myself and the boys. What day was that? We went and got our haircut. Monday, we went and got our haircut. And this little boy walked in. His name was Bo. He was a real sweet little guy. And he was 16 years old or something like that. And he had on a golf shirt. And I said, hey, man, you play golf? And he said, yeah. We talked until it was time for us both to get our haircut about golf. And then when I sit down in the seat, my barber, he says, hey, Pedro, the barber next to me, he started playing golf. So you know what Pedro and I do? We talk the whole time I get a haircut about golf. Why? Because it piqued my interest. You know what I did? I leaned into it. It's something that I'm interested in. And so what I'm telling you is if you consider yourself a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, Christ-following person, when the Word of God is open, I don't care if they've got the most boring personality that you have ever seen in your entire life, and you don't know what they're talking about at first. If you will lean in, you'll get a lot more out of it. If you will lean in and go, okay, I'm going to posture myself and I'm going to position myself that if the Word of God is being taught, I'm going to listen to it and I'm going to adhere to it. I'm not just going to be a hearer of the Word. I'm going to become a doer of the Word. And the way that we do that is by leaning into the Word of God. Sometimes that comes through becoming more vocal. Do you realize how silent of a church we are? Like, it's so rare for people to go, amen. Yeah, that, like, sometimes I'm like, is anybody out there saved? Come on. Like, yes, amen, okay. Yeah, you know what? I would settle for disagreements at this point. Like, if I say something, just go, nah. Or, I don't like that one, Pastor. That's fine. I don't care. Just say something, right? Just prove that we're breathing, that we're alive. But I don't want to create an entertain me culture, right? Or a placate me culture. Just say things that are going to make me not be so frustrated, because listen, we're living in a very frustrating time right now. I understand that. Like, honestly, the things that I've seen on the news the past few days, the people that I've seen talking on the news the past few days, they frustrate me. In fact, I'm just gonna be very honest. I don't need to go there, babe. You giving me the okay? I'm not gonna say it. I'll say this: there are some people in our governmental system that I can't even listen to talk. I just have to cut it off. I can't even do it. Can't handle it. And sometimes what happens is we get so frustrated that then we go to church and we're like, oh, just placate me. You know what placate is? It's to try to dissolve or try to diffuse frustration. Say things that will just keep me happy because I'm not finding happiness anywhere else. Listen, the church is a place for joy. It's a place to have fun, but it's a place to be happy. But it was never intended to be a happy house for adults. A place where we can just come play in the ball pit, right? You guys remember ball pits? Do they even have those anymore? I remember I would try to hide, be like, my mom will never find me. And it's like, there's like three places in here that you could be, and it's the ball pit is the number one place. And then we'd be down in there and be like, talking to each other. Do you think we'll suffocate in here? I don't know. I guess we'll find out, right? But anyways, okay. I need to get back to my notes so we can keep going. Okay. I want us to have a lean-in culture where when the Word of God is opened, we're saying, I'm here to learn. I'm here to be instructed. I'm here because, listen, either you trust myself and the leadership team and who we ask to speak into this house, or you don't. And I'm gonna be very honest with you guys, because you guys are our core people on Wednesday nights. If you can't trust me, that woman, these people here, Pastor Lauren, the leadership team, the deacons here, whoever it is to speak into your life, you probably need to go find somewhere else anyway. I don't say that because we don't want you here. We do. I'm saying for you need to be somewhere where you can lean in and be instructed, where you can learn, where you can grow, where you can have even be corrected at times. But you have to lean in to be able to do that, right? In fact, as a parent, I've learned that when I begin to correct my children, I can tell immediately if it's going to be effective or not by their posture and by their eyes. Parents, you guys know when those eyes glaze over, right? And it's like, you're standing here, and you are hearing me, but you are not listening, right? And sometimes that's how it is with preaching. It's like y'all are here, and you're hearing me, but you're not listening. And we need to be people that let's lean in. Because you know what? You might find the greatest truth that you've never discovered before. You also might find a new way of thinking about it. Or you might save yourself from being deceived. Sometimes we don't really listen to anything. It's like, oh, yeah, good word, good word, good word. Do you really listen to what they were saying? In fact, we were listening to a sermon the other day, and this pastor was preaching, and he was going, he was getting really excited. And I found myself, I really had to listen to what he was saying and not just how he was saying it. Because how he was saying it, he was very excited. He was very, charismatic, and he was very passionate about what he was saying. But I stopped, and I was like, I need to make sure that I'm actually listening to what he's saying and not just getting caught up in the emotion of how he's saying it. Not that I'm against emotions. God gave them to us. But I'm asking for your help in this house because Wednesday nights, this is, our, for the most part, our core people. I'm asking you to be this. Be spiritual instigators, okay? That's a word I got called a lot growing up, an instigator, okay? Now, I mean it in a positive way now. It wasn't a positive way because I was the oldest sibling, right? So I thought it was my job to annoy all of the other siblings, and I was very good at it, okay? In fact, I've carried it over into marriage. I know exactly what buttons to push to get on Madison's nerves, and she's like, you're just trying to get on my nerves right now, and I'm like, yeah, and I'm doing a really good job, right? But I'm asking you to be spiritual instigators. Because I'm thankful that people are here and they're being respectful and they're just listening, but I don't want this to be a spectator sport. Now, what I'm trying to do, I'm just going to be honest, is I'm trying to change the culture of this house a little bit because we have gotten very accustomed to coming in and we sit down and Spencer's going to talk for 30 to 45 minutes, and then we're going to stand up, and he's going to pray for us, and we're going to talk for a little bit, and then we're going to go home. And I know that Madison talked on Sunday about being different. I'm hungry for something different. I'm just going to be honest with you. And I'm not saying I haven't been following God for the past few years or whatever, but I feel like God is shifting something. In fact, if you were here on a Sunday morning for prayer a few weeks ago, Logan led prayer, and he talked about a new season. I believe that God has shifted us. It's not that the old season, listen, the old season wasn't bad and the old season wasn't wrong. I'm not pointing at you and going, you're wrong. What I'm saying is this is a new way that we've never been before. And in new seasons, take new strategies. And so I believe that God is ushering us into a new season, so therefore we need new strategies and we need new culture. And so I want us to be a church that's alive and enthusiastic. I don't want to be dead. I don't want to be boring. I don't want to be apathetic. I want to be enthusiastic about the Word of God. You know, I've learned, and I may have alluded to this a little bit earlier when I was kind of chasing some rabbits, but you will get more out of sermons the more you put into sermons, right? It's just like, it's a basic principle. The more you invest, the greater ROI you can have, return on investment, right? Like, I'm not saying you won't make money if you put in a little bit, but the greater you invest, the more you can make. And it's the same way when it comes to going to church. The more you invest yourself in the sermon, in fact, if I challenge you to talk about what has been preached the last 4 weeks at this church, it would take all of us collectively to remember every Sunday, every Wednesday sermon that's been preached for the last 4 weeks. Why? Because we're not invested in the Word the way that we need to be. Because when you invest in it, it will get deep rooted inside of you, right? So here's what I want to say. Is you, by being enthusiastic, by leaning in, and we create this culture of leaning in, you could motivate and influence other people in the room. So you'll get more out of the Word, but they will also get more out of the Word because you're influencing. And in fact, how about praise and worship? Not just the Word, but praise and worship. When Pastor Jeff is up there leading, or Becky's leading, or Pastor Jody's leading, or someone's, myself, anybody's singing a song, leading a song, Dale, Marla, anybody, I designate you right now to be the praise and worship leader of your row, okay? You take leadership of that row, and you decide if nobody else is going to worship on this row, I'm going to worship on this row. And I'm going to give God the glory that he is due, and I'm going to honor him, and I'm going to be a leader. I'm going to motivate. I'm going to influence people, and we are going to go after God because he does not inhabit the silence of his people. He does not inhabit the laziness of his people. He does not inhabit people that do not praise and do not worship. He inhabits the praises of his people. So if you want the presence of God to come and you want him to inhabit this place, quit looking at the worship team wondering, when are they going to take us to the throne room? And give God some praise. Because you are his people as much as they are his people. And he inhabits the praises of who? His people. Not just honor from the lips. I'm not just trying to get you to shout and get you to clap, although that will be the demonstration of hunger that's inside of your heart, because the Bible says they praise me with their lips, yet their hearts are far from me. I've been to a lot of churches and they dance and they scream and they shout and they clap and they jump and they run around and God is nowhere to be found. But I've also been in moments where all of that was happening and God was wrecking the room. It all has to do with this, the heart. Was there true hunger for God? Or was it just a religious display? If your heart is after God, he will show up. So I designate you the worship, praise and worship leader of your aisle. Everybody give me an E flat. Ah, okay. Here's the cool thing about hunger. Hunger is contagious. That's why I say, if you will lead worship on your aisle, praise and worship will break out in your aisle. Because it's contagious. If you'll lean into the word, other people will start leaning in because it's contagious. And your hunger will create hunger in the atmosphere. That's why I want to have a lean-in culture. So come to church expecting and ready to invest. I'm going to invest myself in, because either we believe that this is the house of God and he's doing something here, or we should go find somewhere else where he is doing something. And if he's not doing something in our midst, maybe it's because we're not looking for it. We're not waiting for it. We're not expecting for it. The old church used to say the atmosphere of expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. You wonder, why don't we see more miracles? Maybe we don't have an atmosphere of expectation. Do you come here wondering who's going to get healed today? What's God going to say prophetically to his church today? Who's going to get encouraged today? Who's going to get called today? Are we going to have a message in tongues and interpretation today? Is there going to be a gift of faith in the room today? Come with that atmosphere of expectation because it's the breeding ground for miracles, okay? So it will be better than if you just come looking what you can get. It's the basic principle. It's better it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. That means in the end, you will be more blessed if you lean in, you invest, you give, than if you just come going, what Spencer got cooked up for us today? I hope his graphics are colorful. The reason there's a lion on there is because of the story I told y'all earlier about the lions, okay? And I just happen to like lions, and I'm kind of into them right now. So, anyways, all right, Luke 5, 1 through 3. I'm all over the place tonight. Luke 5, 1 through 3. This is a story in the life of Jesus. We're going to read this together. Some of y'all are wondering, we ever going to get to the Bible? Yeah, we're going to get to the Bible right now. Luke 5, 1 through 3. So it was, as the multitude pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and they were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. I almost kept reading my notes like it was a part of the text, but it's not. That's where we're supposed to stop. The multitude was literally so amped to hear what Jesus had to say that they pushed him off of land into the water. Listen to the verbiage. The multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God. It wasn't like Jesus was like, you know what? I feel like going on a tour, a three-hour tour, and I'm going to get in a boat, and I'm going to do that. He was standing there, and he's trying, and so many people kept coming that he found himself being backed up into the water, and he was like, well, I'll just get in one of these boats and preach from the boat. Because so many people, they were so amped up, so hungry, so leaning in that Jesus had to seek another place to minister from because of the hunger of the multitude of the crowd that wanted to hear simply what Jesus had to say. Now close your eyes and imagine with me for a moment. This room, front to back, side to side, with people pressing in here to hear the word of God to the point that we've got to take out the walls to your left, my right, the walls that are right here behind where the lobby is. We've got to take out the bathroom because we're adding, and by the way, we're starting work next week on the bathrooms in the back and cutting concrete and getting that ready to go, which is awesome. But imagine with me for a moment. Just, and like I said, close your eyes. Get a picture of people pressed there. We have to add rows and we've got to expand the sanctuary and we've got to build a bigger stage and we've got to order more chairs, not because the well is growing, but because hunger for the word of God is growing. Because people aren't, they're not here going, I want to hear Spencer. They're not here saying, I want to hear Jeff sing. They're here saying, I want to hear the word of God. They're here asking, what must we do to be saved? Can you teach us in the way? Can you teach us what it means to be Christ-like? Can you show us how to follow God and how to have a life that is meaningful and that matters? That people are pressed in here. And so imagine with me and pray that way. I'm trying to pray that way. God, give me a bigger vision. Give me, in fact, I love, Brother Gary texted me, what was that, yesterday morning? I didn't text him back until like that afternoon because I was studying when you texted me yesterday morning. And I didn't pay attention, and I remembered later, and I texted him back, and he texted me, and I love this kind of faith. He said, have you thought any about the growth of the church and expanding the building? And I was able to text him back and say, yes, I've been thinking and working on an expansion plan for the sanctuary. Pastor Jeff texted me the other day, and he said, hey, brother, that concrete's hard in the altar where Pastor Madison had us kneeling and praying the other day, and I told him that that was God telling him, what, you're getting old, right? It was a message from the Lord. I had immediate clarity, a word of wisdom. Jeff, God is telling you, you're getting old. No, but my plan is this, that when we expand the sanctuary, we put padding underneath the area where the altar is, because I don't want anyone to ever not kneel to God because they're worried they can't get up, right? So, like Jeff, that's just for you, Pastor. We're going to take up a collection. And we're going to, you know, people name pews in churches. We're going to name the padding underneath the altar, Jeff Tilley Memorial Padding or something like that. It's just for you, brother. Anyways, okay. But listen, that's what hunger can do. When you get hungry for something, hunger makes things happen. In fact, hunger makes me go through drive-thrus, right? Hunger makes me cook things. Hunger makes things happen that wouldn't have happened before. There are some things, church, that only hunger can produce. In fact, Psalm 42, 1 through 2. I had already studied this out, and I got on Facebook earlier, and Brother Kevin had shared this passage of Scripture, and it was confirmation to my soul. As the deer longs for the streams of water, so I long for you, God. In fact, I think it's the King James, it says, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul pants after you. Verse 2, this is not David, it's another psalmist. He says, I thirst for God, the living God. I love this part, because we always quote, as the deer pants, which is beautiful, and the song was written out of it. Listen to this, when can I go and stand before him? Where the psalmist is saying this, how long do I have to wait till I get to stand in his presence? How long until I can be face to face with my God? How long until I can be one with him and intimate with him, like a deer panting for the streams? That's where the psalmist is saying, I'm literally the only parallel that I can draw to you guys of how badly I want to know God and how hungry and thirsty I am for it is, if you ever seen a deer panting because they've been running, they've been trying to escape something, or they're frolicking through the woods and they're panting, they're looking for a stream. That's how my soul feels for God. I'm looking for him. Here's the cool thing. If you hunger and thirst for God, he will never leave you wanting. He will never leave you empty. He will never leave you dry. He will never leave you unfulfilled. Psalm 107, verse 9. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. What does he fill the hungry soul with? Good things. Good things and only good things. Because he's a good God. He doesn't know how to do anything other than be good. So here's what I want to do. I understand it's 7:37 at night. I want to give you three very quick things that hunger produces in your life. Okay? That as you're hungry for God, these three things will be produced in your life. Number one, instruction. Hunger will invoke instruction in your life. Because as you're hungry for God, you're saying, God, I want what you have. And it invites it invites instruction in your life. You know, have you ever known somebody, you had a friend or a family member or a pastor, it's probably your grandmother or your mom or something, and God speaks to them all the time, right? They're like, God told me this the other day. God spoke this. And it's not fake and it's not hyperbole. Like literally, God, they hear God all the time. He speaks to them through scripture. They hear his voice. He leads and guides them in their spirit. God speaks to them all the time. I can promise you the reason God speaks to that person is not because they're apathetic, lackadaisical, and they don't care. It's because they're hungry for God. Anyone that I've ever known that hears from God on a regular basis and he instructs and guides their life, it's because there's a deep hunger for knowing his voice, for hearing from him. They take time to listen, to wait before the Lord. So if you will be hungry for God to hear him, it will invite and invoke instruction in your life. Now, God rewards hunger with instruction. And also, I'm going to take it a step further, revelation. Okay? So God rewards hunger with revelation. Now, remember, the people pressed in to hear the word of God. So what did Jesus do? He taught them. Their hunger for the word invoked instruction from the Lamb of God. He taught them. He didn't say, go away. You guys are annoying me. My ankles are wet and you guys won't leave me alone. Because they were hungry, Jesus never turned hungry people away. In fact, even naturally speaking, which I think is a spiritual parallel that we can see with the feeding of the 5,000, when the people were hungry, the disciples came to Jesus. They were like, yo, Jesus, everybody's hungry. Jesus said, you feed them something. They're like, we don't have anything to feed him. Jesus was like, find something and we'll figure it out. He never sent people away hungry because he fills us. He fills our spirits with instruction and with revelation. Now, before we go any further, you may ask, what is a revelation? A revelation is a supernatural disclosure. A revelation is the uncovering of a previously unknown or undiscovered spiritual or natural truth. And a revelation is simply this. It's something that man can't teach you. God must inform you on. You can't learn revelation from me. Now, you can learn my revelations. That as God reveals things to me, I can inform you of them. But you cannot learn revelation. You have to be given revelation from God. You can hear about another man's revelation, but if you want true revelation, it comes from saying, God, I'm hungry for you. Hunger looks like this. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to seek the face of God tomorrow morning. I'm not just going to, you know, glance at the Bible on my way out the door while I'm eating a granola bar and trying to check Fox News at the same time. I'm not going to just ignore my Bible. I'm not going to ignore time with you, but as I'm hungry for you, and you want God to instruct your life. And listen, instruction also speaks to correction. And God disciplines those whom he loves. So as you are hungry for God, you're saying, God, I'm so hungry for you that I'm even willing to say yes to your correction. Whatever you need to say to me, God, I'm listening because I'm hungry for you. Okay? So when you're reading and your studying is fueled by hunger and not just obligation, God will meet you there and he will show you what you could never learn in hours and hours of reading the Bible. I've read the Bible with revelation. I've read the Bible without revelation. I much prefer the Bible with revelation. Okay? All right. So hunger will bring about instruction. Hunger will also bring about increase in your life. That's why I say is we lean into the Word of God. We're hungry for the Word of God. It will increase the effectiveness of the Word of God in our life. It will increase the influence that you have in other people's lives. It'll increase this church. It will increase your home. It will increase your finances, your spiritual life, your natural life, your emotional life, because hunger increases capacity. And think about it this way, in the natural way. When you are hungry and you eat, your stomach stretches. In fact, I don't know how true this is. They say your stomach's supposed to be the size of your fist. And I'm like, well, that's not very big, right? And it's like a balloon and it expands. Why? Because when I get hungry, I eat. And when I eat and I eat and I eat, my stomach expands. It's the same way spiritually speaking. Hunger will increase your capacity. The more hungry you are for God, it will then increase your natural capacity, your spiritual capacity, your emotional capacity, your capacity to be a good spouse, your capacity to be a good parent, your capacity to be a good grandparent, to be a good coworker, to be a good boss, to be a good follower of Christ. Whatever it is, hunger in your life will increase capacity. That's why Jesus said, we sang it tonight, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek his righteousness. He said, you know what? If you will do that, because in order to seek something, you have to be hungry for it. Pastor Jeff and I went to New Orleans back in, what was that, February? And we're going to go back this year. And I want as many of y'all as want to come with us this year. And we're going to go tell people about Jesus during Mardi Gras. I know it sounds crazy, but it's incredible. And I love food. And so Pastor Jeff, he began to make fun of me the entire time because he's like, there's literally a McDonald's right here. And you want to drive 15 minutes out of the way to go eat at this place. And I'm like, yeah, I do. Why? Because when you are hungry for something, you'll seek it. And so when Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God, what he's saying is this. If you're hungry for it, you'll look for it. He said, and if you do that, I'll add all of these things to you. Now, I want to go back to Psalm 107, verse 9. He satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul, not the hungry stomach or the hungry mouth, but the hungry soul, he fills with good things. That phrase, good things, means to supply in abundance. That's why I say when you're hungry for God, he'll bless you in ways that you didn't even know you needed blessing. He'll bless you. He'll give you the new job that you want. He'll give you the relationship that you need. He'll give you the child that you've been praying for. He'll give you the restoration that you've been longing for. He'll give you the revelation that you, because as you hunger for God, it produces increase in your life. Okay? All right. The third one. Hunger will bring about influence. We already talked about this a little bit. So it'll bring instruction. It'll bring increase. And it'll bring influence. I say that because nobody wants to follow someone who's boring, right? No one's like, sign me up for that guy, right? And I'll actually say this. Any person that has ever been elected president of the United States, whether I like them or not, I can never, well, for the most part, cannot say that they're boring. If you look back at, I didn't think President Bill Clinton was a very good president, but he wasn't boring. I didn't think that Barack Obama was a very good president. He wasn't boring. They had something about them that inspired people to follow them, even though I didn't agree with their policies or their lifestyle or whatever. And I'm not trying to get political, and I'm not trying to slander people. I'm trying to show you something that people follow, don't follow boring people, okay? People are, they allow hungry people to influence them. People that have enthusiasm, that are inspired, people that have drive. And listen, I want to make it personal for you, are called to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Who's going to want to follow you if you aren't hungry for him? Nobody looks at uninspired, lazy, apathetic, nominal Christians and goes, boy, I wonder where they go to church. Boy, I wonder what God they serve. Because if life is so bad for them, why would I want anything of what they have going on, right? If you aren't hungry for God, you shouldn't be shocked when your children aren't interested in the least bit about God. In fact, I have learned as a parent, I've been a parent now for over 11 years, that if I want a good kind of dose of reality on how much I love God and I'm hungry for God, I simply need to look no further than my children. Because if they want nothing to do with God, they have no interest in God, then I obviously don't either, because I'm the greatest influence in their life. And if they're hungry for everything but God, I'm not as passionate about God as I claim to be on this platform. I'm not as passionate for God as I lie to myself and tell myself that I am, because I'm a Christian. I've been following God since I was 5. Right? So don't be surprised. If you're not hungry for God, don't be surprised when your children are. In fact, I want to just brag on Dale and Marla. The way that Raven and Marissa love God shows me how much you love God. Because as I watch them, if you want to know how real someone's walk with God is at home, look at their children. If they claim to be passionate and they love God and they're at church all the time, but their children have no interest in God, they are a fraud. I can guarantee it. Their walk with God goes no further than this room or wherever they go to church. Because I'll tell you this, if your children will see you model a hunger and a passion and a desire for God at home, they will adopt the same one. Because the Bible gives us this promise, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. So My encouragement is, as we are hungry for God, we should have influence. It will influence our children. How about this? If you aren't hungry for God, you shouldn't be shocked when your coworkers don't care where you go to church. They don't care that you listen to Christian music. They don't care that you wear Christian t-shirts. They don't care that you claim to be godly and you claim to be a good person. Sometimes I think we use Christianity as an excuse. And here's what I mean by that. We say things like, well, you know what? They don't care about where I go to church or the fact that I'm a Christian because, they're against Christianity. No, the problem is probably because we're not as authentic and genuine as we should be. Because I've noticed this. Anytime someone has a true encounter with a real God, they want to know more about him. You look at Jesus. Nobody that he healed did he go, nah, I don't want. They were all like, can we follow you? Can we hang out with you? Can we come? Jesus had to warn them, say, don't tell anybody about me because it wasn't his time yet. Hungry people carry influence. But if you're not hungry for God, you can't just use the excuse of, oh, well, they're just against Christianity. No, maybe they're not getting a good influence of what someone that actually loves God, follows God, and serves God, not just when they're at church, but all the time actually looks like. So hungry people have a voice to tell other people about the truth. Well, and listen, this isn't just in regards to Christianity. This is in business. This is in sports. This is in music. This is in art. Because hunger is contagious and it creates influence. People always want to follow hungry people. You go look at any major leader in the world today, you will not find anyone that is not a hungry person. They're hungry for more money. They're hungry for more success. They're hungry for fame. Whatever it is, the reason they got there is because they were hungry for what they were going after. And if we're hungry for God, he says, I'm not hiding, but you will have to seek for me. If you seek me, I'll show up. I'll show you where I am. And so my hunger for God, your hunger for God can create hunger for God in other people's lives. It creates influence. So hunger for God, it brings instruction. It brings influence. And it brings, the second one was increase in our life. And so I want to encourage you, let's be people who lean in. Let's be people that are hungry for God more than anything else. Amen? Stand to your feet with me. You know, the thing about hunger is whatever you're the most hungry for is what you're going to go after. And it's like if someone is really set on getting in shape and then they bring out a pie and they say no to the pie, it's not that they're not hungry for pie, it's that they're more hungry for being in shape. So they're more hungry for having that self-discipline. They're more hungry for what they're training for than what's ahead of them. Discipline is choosing what you want most over what you want now. And that's a lot of what hunger is that my hunger, yes, I'm going to be hungry for other things. I'm hungry for golf. I like golf. You guys know that. I talk about it all the time. I'm hungry about food and coffee. I love those things. But I can never let those things exceed my hunger for God. Because if I do, those things have actually become God in my life. So, Father, we're praying that this would be a hungry house. God, not just the atmosphere and the culture of this house, but, Father, we submit our hearts to you tonight, and I ask that you would help us to be hungry, to thirst and hunger for righteousness, that we would be like the psalmist, and we would say to you, oh, God, my soul longs, yes, it even faints for the courts of my God. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. God, I thank you that you fill the hungry soul with good things. I thank you that you said that if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we shall not be left empty, but we shall be filled. And so, God, we're saying, fill us up. Fill this house up. God, we are hungering for you, and we believe that as we stay hungry for you, that you are going to instruct us, you're going to guide us. God, I believe that you're going to bring revelation into our life, allow us to see things from a new perspective like we've never seen. Father, I thank you that through hunger, you're going to bring increase, not only in this church, but in our households, in our family, in our children, in our finances. And Father, I thank you that as we're hungry for you, we're not going to shy away from being an influence for you. God, we're going to let our light shine boldly before men. We're not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we're going to preach and teach and we're going to instruct everywhere that we go, not in a braggadocious way, not in a cramming it down your throat way, but in a, if you only knew how good our God truly is. And I believe that we're going to see a great shift take place in this community of believers as we hunger and thirst for you. God, we choose to be hungry for you tonight. We choose you above everything else. In fact, I just want to applaud your children tonight. By being in church on Wednesday night, they said with their time, I want God more than I want whatever else I could be doing. I want his word more. So you're already doing this. You're already leaning in. You're already doing the right thing. But God is coming alongside and he's fortifying this. And he's saying, we're going to be a people of hunger because wherever hunger is, God will be. And so, Father, we're saying, fill this house. In our praise and worship, fill this house. In the preaching of the word, fill this house. In our fellowship, in our ministry time, in our altar calls, in our outreaches, God, fill this place with your presence. We're hungry for you, God. We long for you with great expectation. And we say, come and have your way. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Love you guys so much. Hope you have a wonderful week, and we look forward to seeing you Sunday morning. Would you lift your hands and receive this blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, may he keep you in his peace, smile over you, and may you live with hunger for our God, knowing that as you do, he's going to fill you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you guys. God bless.